Chairs No Waiting, episode number 506, Milestones in Mayberry. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. It's holiday season. It's time to go shopping. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. You can get all kinds of sweatshirts, a bunch of different Mayberry-themed sweatshirts. It will help you keep you warm all winter. You also have the Make America Mayberry Again bumper sticker or magnets. Definitely want to show that. Those are getting a lot of fun from people. And the 2019 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar, all over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of this episode, 506, is Larry Taylor. He's one of our patrons over at patreon.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it's great to be in Mayberry with you once again. It's always a lot of fun for me just to spend some time talking about my favorite show. I know you enjoy it too, or you wouldn't show up. So this episode, we're going to be talking about some milestones that occurred in Mayberry. Now, those milestones, there's a lot of them, so we're only going to cover a few of them in this particular episode, and I've got audio clips and pictures, so if you're watching the video version, you'll see the pictures, but if you don't have to watch the video version, because basically, you know, you're hearing everything that you need to hear, but just use the audio to paint a picture in your mind if you're doing it that way. So we're going to be talking about that. And then we're also going to hear from Randy Turner for this week in Mayberry history. So stick around for that as well. So let's get into this. Milestones in Mayberry. So on the very first episode of the Andy Griffith Show called The New Housekeeper, do you know what the first line was? Let's go and check that out.
Anybody here know why these two should not be wed? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. That's right. We heard from Sheriff Andy Taylor. That was the very first words ever said on the Andy Griffith Show itself. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Now, if you remember, right after that, Andy also told Opie to be quiet or he'd be holding the seat of his britches. If you remember that. So Wilbur and Rose were getting married right there in the courthouse, and we got to hear that. All right, so the next one of the first, this is not really one of the first, but as I was researching this, we heard this because I love this quote. Let's hear it.
Thank God, glad when you learn to talk.
If you remember, Opie was not behaving correctly, so Andy said that.
And to thank God, glad when you learn to talk.
I have said that myself to my son once long ago. But in that same episode, which a lot of these are coming from that episode here at the very beginning, you're gonna hear this was the first time Opie was sent to his room as well.
Since you're not going to eat anything, you might as well go on up to your room.
Yes, sir.
So he sent him on up to his room. If you remember, Opie was complaining. He didn't like Aunt Bee. He didn't like Rose. So this was the first time Opie got sent to his room. Now, since it's the first episode, you know, there's a lot of firsts in that particular episode. So we're just giving you some of the highlights there. But Andy sent him up to his room. So this episode also had one of the first moments that kind of made you a little bit teary as well.
Paul, Aunt Bee, wait!
Opie, what are you doing in your pajamas?
Don't go, Aunt Bee, I don't want you to. I want you to stay.
You mean it, Opie?
Sure.
Well, what changed your mind?
Well, if she goes, what'll happen to her? She doesn't know how to do anything. Play ball, catch fish, or frogs, she'll be helpless.
Yeah, I guess that's right. A woman don't know how to do important things like that. Why she'd just be lost.
So that's why she's got to stay, so I can teach him to her. You need me.
So that was our first misty moment. You got a little bit teared up when Opie was getting all teary and hugging Aunt Bee out by the truck that Andy was going to carry Aunt Bea off in. You know, you can't leave. You need me. You can't do any. You can't do any of that stuff. So that was one of our first Misty moments. Our eyes got just a little bit teared up. And the first song we ever heard on the Andy Griffith Show, the lyrics, the song, was this one.
You get a line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get a line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the crawdad hole, honey, baby mine.
So that was the very first song we ever heard on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, if you remember, Opie came running out because Dickie, his bird, which Aunt Bea had let go, was one of the other reasons he was upset. Dickie came back, you know, because I guess he's looking for some of that good old fried chicken. All right. So the next first that we heard or get to find out about was actually on episode The Manhunt. Okay. So The Manhunt is episode two, The Manhunt. This is what occurred on this. This is the first time we heard of Otis. Otis Campbell was in jail. This was our first time with Otis. So let's hear this.
About time you got here, Sheriff. Put near 12 o'clock.
Yeah, your 24 hours is about up. You can go on home now, Otis.
So Otis is reaching through the cell and unlocking the door for himself. And he got the key right off the rack there.
Andy, you can't let Otis go.
Well, I have to. His sentence is up.
But he's the only prisoner we got.
Yeah, you know, the state men were coming. You remember that, right? The state guys, they were on their way there. And how's it going to look if we don't have any prisoners? You know, how's that going to look? So this was the first time we had somebody in jail. And it was also the first time somebody let themselves out of jail. And, of course, it was Otis. It was Otis that did that. So, all right. So the next one we're going to hear is the first time Barney couldn't find his bullet. Now, remember, Barney was only allowed his one bullet. Well, this is we found out here. But anyway, let's go and hear this because this is where he's looking for his bullet. And Andy actually gives him more bullets. Oh, this is dangerous. So let's listen to this.
What's the matter?
Can't find my bullet.
Oh, look here. Fill her up.
Fill her up?
Can't tell but what this might call for some shooting.
Yeah, that's right.
So Andy actually let him fill it up. So this was the first time Barney got to actually put bullets in his gun, and he couldn't find his bullet either, so he couldn't find his bullet. Now, next, we're going to hear a first. This was the very first phone call to Sarah, the operator there in Mayberry. So let's hear this.
That's right, operator. I want this line kept open to the state capitol. Captain Barker, state police, that's who says so.
Sarah? Me. Yeah, it's all right. Any sheriff business comes up, well, you can call my home phone. All right. Oh, she's fine.
So he's even telling Sarah that Aunt Bea's fine. You know that's what she actually had to have asked. That's what she was asking there. All right, so next up, let's see what we've got next. So Barney just loaded his gun up, remember? All right, so he loaded his gun up, and, well, we all know what happens when Barney loads his gun up. So all the state police, luckily, had already left the location, but here's what we heard.
For him.
So Andy went over, took the gun away, emptied it out, took all the bullets out again, put them back in the box that he had just recently let Barney load his gun up from. So there you go. That is a awesome first in Mayberry. So he unloaded the gun and went and put the bullets back where he had gotten them. So, all right. So next up, our first. So remember, these are first times we got to see these things. This Andy Griffith Show was new. These things had never happened before. We've seen it so many times. You know, we've watched the Andy Griffith Show over and over and love just all these things. We look forward to that. If I was sitting here at my desk and it was on in the other room and I heard this coming, I would roll my chair back. So I could see through the door here into the living room so I could watch this, because it's just, it's awesome. It's awesome. So this is the first as well, when Barney gets tied up by the criminal, you know, and this is the manhunt again. So let's hear this one.
The world happened.
He was here, Andy.
Dirksen?
Yeah, he got the drop on me.
You mean he had a gun?
Well, he has now.
I better report this.
He has now. He has now. So this was the first time Barney got, you know, he got tied up by a criminal, or he got locked up in a jail cell. This is the first. This is the first occurrence of that. So there Barney is. He's tied up with his own stuff right there in the show. So he was gagged with his own handkerchief, you know, and Dirksen had gotten him and gotten his gun and everything. So, it, by the way, this is also the first time we saw Andy carrying a sidearm. So he had his sidearm on when he's letting Barney go. So we saw that. So now Andy goes over to report it, which is what he just said. And he's got to go over and report it to the state police. Well, you know, let's listen to this part. So this is fun as well.
Mayberry to headquarters.
That's Paul.
Mayberry to headquarters. Come in, please.
This is headquarters, Mayberry. Go ahead.
Deputy Barney Fife made contact with SKP.
He has?
Yeah. Only trouble is he kind of got uncontacted. Well, he got away is what he done.
What are you people up to? I told you we'd handle this.
Well, we just thought it might be helpful if somebody watched the old road down by the lake. It nearly worked, too. But I reckon that's the way it is in the manhunt game. Sometimes you bag them, sometimes you don't. Now, I got an idea.
Sheriff, we're trying to apprehend a dangerous criminal. Please don't hinder us with your bumbling ideas. 10-4.
But, Captain, help. 10-4. I'm dog if it don't make a fella feel right bad to get 10 forward right in the middle of an idea.
I'll be glad to listen to your idea, Sheriff.
Why, thank you, Deputy.
So, this was the first time Andy got 10 forward during the middle of an idea. So, this is when he got his 10 forward. Y'all, he 10 forward you. All right. So, next up, hope you guys are enjoying this. It was fun for me going through and finding some of these things. So, the next one we're going to have, this is the first. Now, this is visual, so I'll try to describe it for everybody that's just listening. But this is the first shootout in Mayberry. Now, this is from the episode Runaway Kid. All right, so this is the first shootout. Now, this is the sixth episode shown, but it was the fourth episode filmed. So I guess there could be some controversy what the right order and when the first things actually occurred. But let's go with, in this case, we'll say this is The Runaway Kid. This was the sixth episode, fourth episode film. So this is the very first shootout in Mayberry. So let's hear this one. So this is Opie and his friends walking down the streets in front of the courthouse, down the sidewalk. Opie gathers up close to them. They're dressed up as cowboys.
Bang! Bang! Hey, it's the sheriff.
So, it was Opie and his friends. They had the very first shootout on the streets of Mayberry. There you go. So, that was the same little boys, if you'll remember, that pushed the squad car in front of the fire hydrant. But Opie didn't push very hard. Okay, he didn't push very hard. So, but that was the very first shootout in Mayberry that was aired, at least on the aired versions. So on this episode, Opie, when they pushed the squad car in front of the fire hydrant, he promised he wouldn't tell, but then he told Andy, remember? So then Andy came back to him and said, you know, son, well, you know, you made a promise. You can't go back on a solemn promise. You can't do that. Well, just a little later, we have a solemn promise that it's a sacred trust and is the first one, but it was confusing to Opie. So let's hear this one.
Now come on.
First you say don't break a solemn promise. Now you say it's okay to break a solemn promise. You're sure mixing me up, Paul.
Well, I might confuse myself. Well, all right. I won't try to find out, and you don't have to tell me.
You mean it, Paul?
Yeah. At least till I can figure it out.
So he had made a solemn promise not to tell who George Foley's Texas parents were, because he was just telling his name was Tex, remember? I won't tell you, he's telling. So George Foley, Tex, Opie had promised not to tell who he really was, and Andy said, I won't push you. At least until I can figure this out. All right. So let's move on now to, Opie's Charity. Now, Opie's Charity was the fifth episode filmed, but the eighth episode aired. Okay. So, but we're still going to say that this is a first in Mayberry in Opie's Charity. It was the first time that we had seen a death reported, that somebody had reported a death. All right, so this one, I love this one. Opie's Charity, the first time that we had had a death reported. So let's just listen to it. This is, you guys know this one. Let's listen.
Santa Annabelle is just like her not to be able to admit to anybody in town that she couldn't hold on to a husband. Only she could be so proud to do what she done.
What she done?
She told everybody that you went down to Charlottesville and got run over.
Run over?
By a taxi cab. And she had this nice mahogany box sent back and had you buried like you was in it. Well, yes. Far as the town's concerned, you're as dead as a hammer.
I don't believe it. I know she's proud, all right, but burying me when I'm still alive, I just don't believe it. All I did was go down to Charlottesville.
Well, Tom, we all figured you was a lot further down than that.
Well, where to?
So we figured you was a lot further down than that. So that's Tom Silby returning to Mayberry after he'd been gone for a couple of years and he got to feeling lonesome for her. You remember that? Well, she was just too proud. But she'd even had him buried there. She had the tombstone. Rest in peace. R.I.P. it said. R.I.P. Thomas Silby, a fine man and a dear husband. He passed away in 1958, according to this. So it's been 2 or 3 years since he's passed away on this tombstone. Anyway, so, wow, great. That was the first time there. Now, that was the first time a death had been reported. We got more mayhem like that coming up here. We're getting close to the end. We only got a few more I'm going to report on. The next one is coming from the episode Ellie Comes to Town. So this is Ellie Walker when she comes to town. This is episode number 6 filmed and number 4 aired. So this was aired earlier. Then, you know, it's aired number 4, but this is the first person from outside of town who came to town. And let's hear this little clip too. This is great. I love this. I've always enjoyed this one. So let's go on and hear it from Miss Ellie herself.
Well, now that's nice. Your diploma right under Fred's. Eleanor Walker, PhD, pharmacy gal.
Pharmacy gal. So Miss Ellie came to town. She was our first non-Mayberry person that came into town. She moved in there to help run the drugstore. And so she was Eleanor Walker, PhD, pharmacy gal. So there you go. All right. So next up is, what is next? So we already had a report of a death. Now this time we have a report of a murder, the very first murder in Mayberry. I didn't grab a sound clip from this. Okay, so I'll just have to tell you who it was. It was Emma. Remember, because Ellie wouldn't give her medicine. You know, so she went into the courthouse and said, "I want to report a murder, a murder, a murder." Well, who's been murdered? Me. Well, there's just one problem, Emma. You're alive. Well, I won't be. because that girl won't give me her pills. Remember that? All right, so that one's that one. I'm sorry I didn't grab that audio clip for you. But that was our first reported murder, and that was in the same episode, Ellie Comes to Town, when Ellie would not give her her miracle drug that was 10 cents, if you remember that. All right, so the first, we're really close to the end here. The first time that Barney wore his salt and pepper suit. So let's hear this story. This was his very first. Now, this came from the episode Irresistible Andy. Okay, so that was the seventh episode filmed, and it was the fifth episode aired. Okay, so let's hear this sound clip.
Hi, Andy.
Well, Barney, look at you. Ain't you the Adolph Menju of Mayberry, though?
You sure look all right. I ain't wore this suit since Clary Dorset's funeral.
Why, you look good enough to go to city and walk around Chinatown.
So you look good enough to go to the city and walk around Chinatown. Now, Don Knotts, that was his first time wearing the salt and pepper suit. There you go. He walked up on Andy and his front porch with Aunt Bee sitting out there with him. And, you know, that's the very first time Barney had on his salt and pepper suit. So I thought you'd like that too. All right. So let's see. We got a couple of more. I think just one more actually. Yep. One more. This one's pretty long, so I hope you're going to enjoy it. This is one of my favorites ever. This is from Andy the Matchmaker. Now that is episode number 9 filmed and number 7 aired. So it was the 7th episode air. But this is the first time we get to see Barney resign. We find out later, you know, it wasn't the first time he had resigned, but this is the first time he resigned, and you're going to hear all the things that he's turning in. One badge, one notebook, one pencil, one gun belt, one holster, one revolver, one bullet, one whistle, one tie clip, one tie, one cap, and one flashlight. I think I may have gotten that, may not have got that part of the clip. And, he also turned in a pair of handcuffs, but he didn't mention it. So let's listen to this great little bit where he talks about the poem that Opie had written on the wall and everything. So let's go and enjoy this. I hope you're going to enjoy it. Just grin along with me as we listen.
What's the matter?
Turning in one badge, one notebook, and one pencil.
Barney, what are you doing?
I'm handing in my resignation as deputy. That's what I'm doing. One gun belt, one holster, one revolver, and one bullet.
Well, now, hold on there. Wait just a minute.
No, this is it, Andy. This is it. One whistle. I replaced the P in it, but I ain't gonna charge you.
Barney, what do you mean you're handing in your resignation?
Just what I said, I'm handing in my resignation. One tie clip. One tie.
Well, now, hold just a minute now. Now, before I accept your resignation, I got to have a little explanation here. Now, just ease back and tell me what's got into you.
Well, this is the last straw, Andy. It's bad enough there ain't any deputy in for me to do, but I don't like to be teased about it.
You was teased?
That's right, and by your own son, Opie.
Well, what happened?
I seen him do it. I caught him red-handed.
Well, what did Opie do?
You don't believe it, do you? Well, I didn't think you would. One cap.
Now, wait a minute. I am bound to hear this. Now, tell me, what did Opie do?
He wrote a poem about me on the wall of a bank.
Well, what poem?
Well, I wrote it down. I'd like to offer this as foolproof evidence. There once was a deputy called Fife who carried a gun and a knife. The gun was all dusty, the knife was all rusty, because he never caught a crook in his life. Now, that's undermining the dignity of the law. It makes out like I never wanted to catch crooks. And that just ain't so. I'd catch them in a minute. But how am I going to catch them if there ain't any, for heaven's sake? If only somebody would just commit a crime. One good crime. If only somebody just... kill somebody.
Barney!
Oh, I don't mean anybody we know. Well, if a couple of strangers was to come into town and Well, if one of them was going to kill the other one anyways, he might just as well do a cheer.
Maybe we ought to advertise.
Oh, that's right. Make jokes about it. Make jokes about it.
What I'm trying to tell you...
Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, Opie.
Now you can just go ahead and ask him for yourself.
All right. Opie, Barney says there was a poem written on the wall of the bank and that you were standing along beside of it with a piece of chalk in your hand.
Yeah, but I didn't do it, Paul. Honest.
I believe you.
Are you pitting your crime detecting judgment against mine?
Well, Barney, I have to, because for one thing, Opie wouldn't lie to me.
You call that evidence?
And for another, he ain't learned how to write yet.
Well, what's that got to do with...
you don't know how to...
I love that. There once was a deputy named Fife who carried a gun and a knife. The knife was... The gun was all rusty. The gun was all dusty. The knife was all rusty because he never caught a crook in his life. You gotta love it. For one thing, you don't know how to write yet. You don't know how to... Oh, that's good stuff right there, man. Isn't it amazing how this stuff happened? I mean, wow, how did they come up with that? So that was the first time we had Barney resigning. I guess it was the first time Opie had written on the wall, but it wasn't Opie, you know. So anyway, I love it. I hope you enjoyed that. There's one last thing that I don't have an audio clip for, but we also had on that same episode, which was Andy the Matchmaker, you know, he had resigned and everything. He got them all back. Well, Barney got his first date with Miss Rosemary outside the Taylor home. If you remember, he was out there with Andy, and Andy starts saying, well, you know, Andy started acting like he would go out with Miss Rosemary, and that basically Barney asked her out. And so Barney got his first date with Miss Rosemary, and they sealed it with a handshake. So they agreed to go on the date with a handshake. That was their agreement. So anyway, that was a first. So there we are, guys. That's all we're going to do for this episode. That's some of the Mayberry milestones. And I hope you enjoyed those. Just memories of Mayberry as we ran through them. I love it. Makes me smile. Makes me laugh. All right. So let's go now and hear from our friend, Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Mayberry fans know him as Colonel Harvey of Indian Miracle Elixir fame, but John Daner had an extensive career which actually began in animation. John was born in Staten Island, New York, on November the 23rd, 1915. His father was a painter whose work resulted in the family living in Europe during his formative years, in cities such as Oslo in Norway, Copenhagen in Denmark, and in London and Paris. After his family returned stateside, John attended high school in New York. After graduation, John tried to begin a career in stage acting without much luck. He also studied art in New York City before moving to California to continue his studies at the University of California. He was soon hired as an assistant animator for Walt Disney Studios in Burbank. He worked on some well-known Disney films, including first Fantasia and then Bambi. His first on-screen appearance was in the Disney film The Reluctant Dragon, a film that was in essence a tour of the new Burbank animation facilities that included four animated sequences. John was seen as a storyboard artist. John left Disney to serve in the Army during the war, where his skills in language resulted in his being assigned to public relations work for the military. He first worked as a radio announcer upon his discharge. He also began acting. John made his debut in the 1943 Johnny Weissmuller film, Tarzan's Desert Mystery. And the following year also began acting in radio. His resonant voice made him a natural, and he soon was still working in news while continuing to act in film and radio. In 1945, he was part of a reporting team that won a Peabody Award for their coverage of the first United Nations conference, but he soon devoted himself entirely to acting. John made his television debut in 1952 in an episode of the series Dangerous Assignment. Throughout the rest of the decade, he worked steadily in television as well. John appeared in many Western series, including multiple appearances in series such as Gunsmoke, Wagon Train, Wanted Dead or Alive, and Maverick. On radio, after earlier turning down the role of Marshall Dillon on the original radio series Gunsmoke, beginning in 1958, starred as Paladin in Have Gun, Will Travel, a rare example of a radio series resulting from a pre-existing television series. He appeared in hundreds of episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel, and over his career, appeared in nearly 900 episodes of various radio series. John played his first recurring television role in The Alaskans, a series in which he ultimately played two different recurring characters. He played his first semi-regular character in the 1960 to 1962 series, The Roaring Twenties. In 1963, John appeared in Mayberry as the lovable Colonel Harvey, selling high-proof elixir to Aunt Bee and her friends. The following year, he co-starred with Sterling Holloway, Mayberry's salesman Bert Miller, and Clint Howard, our own Leon, in the series The Baileys of Balboa. In subsequent years, John co-starred in several series, including The Doris Day Show. He played roles as different as the police captain in the short-lived Dukes of Hazzard spinoff, Enos, to real-life founder of Time magazine, Henry Luce, in the 1983 film, The Right Stuff. By the time John left acting, after appearing in the 1988-1989 miniseries, War and Remembrance, he had appeared in film and episodic television hundreds and hundreds of times. John passed away in 1992. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the great stuff Randy has going on the internet, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss anything. You don't miss out on any of the fun. Great Mayberry stuff that he's doing. So thank you again, Randy. It's always a great time to be here with you here in Mayberry and just to have some fun reminiscing about our favorite show. I've been doing it for more than 10 years now. It's still fun for me. I still smile. I still get a grin on my face every time I'm getting to talk about my favorite show, The Andy Grove Show. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'd like to hear from you. If you'll give me a call or something, let me know what you thought about tonight's show. I would love to hear that. The number is 888-684-8415, or you can drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com, and there's all kinds of ways to contact me there. twochairsnowaiting.com. Head over there and check it out. All these calls to action. Don't forget to go over to Weaver's. It's Christmas. It's near that time. Go get you some stuff. Give it to your Mayberry friends. They'll love it. So go check out weaversdepartmentstore.com too. Have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you next week right here on Two Chairs, No Waiting.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.